guy like me, and I know I am, then you know it's time for Live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com, and the Sam Fells But Who's Buying Newsletter's official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. I cannot promise that any of the four of us are wearing pants after last night, but it's a podcast, and we don't have a video element, so we don't have to be. Even if we had a video element, I don't think we need to be wearing pants. Of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. It's the only wrestling show on Monday nights. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Dodgers Corner says 2-0 in the series in a few minutes here.
Dodgers Corner is looking pretty good these days.
It's a good place to be.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and he's our technical supervisor. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. He's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He's the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and you can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. It's Fifth Feather John.
My pants are still off.
I imagine they would be. But you have returned from your sprint down California Avenue.
Yes, I made it home safely after a
Thank God.
night of running
Did you
red
get
and
as
nude.
far as your dog did when he escaped?
She,
Gee.
no, I did not make it as far as the Kennedy.
Okay. Was that house that she escaped from, the one that you're currently
Yes,
inside in? Yeah.
She made it a long way with three legs.
She
In the
certainly
rain and
did.
the dark.
Don't worry, folks. She made it home safely all those years ago when she escaped. It was,
And she
that
had
was
three
not
legs
a.
before she left, let the record show.
Correct.
Yeah,
Yeah, let
she
the
had three
record
legs before
show.
she left, and she had three legs when she returned. Anyway, so
And all it cost us was our good friend Floob's Twitter account.
it cost us Floob's Twitter profile, but that's
R.I.P.
gone now anyway. So
Yep.
what's the difference, gentlemen? I know in somewhere in my heart of hearts, not my entire heart of hearts, but somewhere in my heart of hearts, that the Bears were pretty lucky to beat the Raiders, and they were kind of lucky to beat Washington. And I also know in my heart of hearts, I don't care. This
Yes,
just
of
it's
course
just
not.
different. I don't know if it will be better. I don't know if it is better yet. I know it will be, but this is different. And all I asked for was different, and I got it.
No, Sam, the metaphor that I've been thinking of is that they've been lost at sea for the better part of 13 years now.
40
30
years.
years, I might
Well, I would
actually
say
notice.
the Lovey era, they had a course, they had a direction, they just didn't know what the hell they were doing. As opposed to just being adrift
Right.
with
There
no
were some
purpose.
intermittent port stops, but yeah, they
Yeah.
were, yeah.
Turning into Jerry Angelo with all these nautical references
Whistle
here.
Dixie. Anyway, John, I
But
interrupted.
no, yeah, Sam, I agree. I think that it's hard to tell exactly where they're going, where they're headed. But here's what I'll say. When we were talking in the real show last night, I think Andrew had mentioned something. Again, it's all a blur at this point. I don't remember much. I blacked out during certain sections. But I do remember Andrew saying something along the lines of, let's see how they finish. About, I think it was maybe in the third quarter. And I said something along the lines of, if they're good enough, they'll prove that that they're good enough.
That's generally how it works, yes.
Correct. But the
Bears
moral of the
game
story being
profundities from John.
there was no moral victories to be had. They needed to either prove that they're good enough or they're just not yet.
No close
And
losses. There's no such thing.
Yeah. That's the
No.
whole point of the angst around the Jaden Daniels matchup and the running gag of this broadcast is basically a Commanders home
Right.
broadcast. I want to get to that, but I don't want to start
We'll
there
get to
because I feel
that.
like everybody's yapping about that and it's taken on
Well,
a life
okay.
of its own.
But
But I know where you're
the
at.
point you're making is that the quarterback's success is going to be measured by wins and losses at the end of the day. There
Right.
is
No
no,
one's
you
gonna
almost
care.
beat
Well,
him.
even that's not working. They've won the last two games and it's still, oh, this guy sucks. We'll get to the broadcast because I'm usually pro the Monday night broadcast. I usually find it actually pretty good, but last night was special. John, I sort of got where you because I'm going into the game like, all right, well, if Washington comes in and they just run the ball all over and Jaden plays well and the Bears lose, he's like, well, okay, it's just a smoother operation at the moment, and they're not there yet. Jaden didn't play well. Don't give me that shit. I don't want to hear it. They didn't run the ball.
It's
No,
crazy.
but like
Three
so like
turnovers, for fuck's sake.
In the middle of the third quarter, I'm like, if the Bears lose this game, it's gonna be upsetting because this team is not playing well, and they can't lose to this team that's like barely trying.
I thought Jaden, the first touchdown pass that he threw was vintage Jaden Daniels, where he's getting the all out blitz in the red zone, and he just flicks the corner and his receiver comes down with it. But I thought the other two were schemed up by Kliff, because they clearly had the Bears DBs biting on all the short throws that they were mixing in, and all of a sudden Jaden makes one little shoulder move, and all of a sudden the third garbage McCaffrey son is running free with nobody within 40 yards of him. I agree. Like, I think it was weird how halfway through the game, he had only thrown for 83 yards, and there was nary a mention
How many
about how
yards?
it, I thought it was 83,
Thank you.
but nary a mention of, hey, maybe their offense needs to pick it up a little bit. It was more
Just a
along the
touch.
lines of, yeah, it was more along the lines of, oh, Washington's still in this game, and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I feel like it was never going to be good enough unless Caleb put together like a Dallas game.
Right, and even
In that,
that,
yeah.
like, so I don't even. He had
Well,
a, he already
he
had a Dallas
doesn't
game.
have his teammates laughing and being loose on the sidelines at all times, like a true leader
Right.
who laughs after he throws an interception, and
A
it's
bad
good.
interception in the
It's good
red zone.
actually if he does that.
Yeah.
It's good to throw a pick and just be laughing on the side. There were so many things that if Caleb did, he would be crucified, and he already was, and he wasn't doing any of those things. It's really
Yeah,
sad to watch.
I'm sort
And
of
I know I'm
well, I
not
mean,
alone. There's articles everywhere about it, which is good.
we're
I
already
felt
there.
insane.
So my only guess is that Aikman is friends with one of those coaches who were anonymously quoted in that bullshit story from the preseason.
But that doesn't
Right?
make sense, Sam,
That doesn't
because
make sense to me
he
either.
was he, they did the week one game. It's not like this was
Right.
the first Bears
And
game
in
they did
week one,
this
he was like
year.
defending him.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
We commended it on this show.
Right, so
We
what
said that the
happened in
broadcast
the
was really good and fair.
I think it was a production meeting to produce the show and the game as the Jaden Daniels story. And I don't
As
know if that's
Caleb as the
like,
villain?
well, like
Yeah.
everything I can see with my own eyes, I have no evidence of any of this, and I'm not this kind of guy, which is why it's strange that it made me feel this way. But if you take into account the commentary and the refereeing, something stunk about what was going on in that game. Like
I
they
think that
for
refereeing was just incompetence.
No, I know that, and I know that's probably true, but it just looked like a Washington produced show that the Bears just happened to be on. It was weird. It was very strange.
I think my highlight, and I may get the order of this screwed up, but I'm pretty sure this is how it went down, was somewhere in the second or third quarter, there was a throw. And it was caught. It was a completion, but it was a little off, and the receiver had to like turn. And he sort of fell down while catching it. And Aikman says, "Well, one thing the Bears aren't getting is a lot of yards after catch, and that's on Caleb too." And I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, okay." And then Swift runs for 50 yards after a catch. Well, that's just lucky.
Yes.
Well, which is it then?
That's
Like,
incredible. That's
I don't quite.
incredible.
I don't. I'm like, I'm just sitting there going, that doesn't make any sense. And I am one of the few people who likes Troy Aikman. He's not yelling at me. He's not making weird sounds. He just usually tells me what's going on, and that's all I want of a football analyst. But this was like, this seemed to have an agenda. It's like, well, how? Okay, first of all, how, I understand a little bit how yards after catch can be a little on the quarterback because if you're not accurate, you're not putting your receivers in the best position. But it's not all on him. And then when he does it. It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. It was lucky.
It was lucky.
They were lucky. Yeah, that,
he also hit Zacchaeus in the wrong part of the torso shoulder pads. With that pass.
Yeah, looks.
Fuck
it's
you
not like he hit him
about,
in the
man.
Back.
Yeah, that's it was the Jim so Miller strange play. Because I've always felt that Aikman, and we said this on multiple shows, the Justin Fields Monday night game in New England,
right.
You never felt that he came into a game with a narrative and then he was not going to budge off of that narrative no matter what was happening in front of him.
Yeah,
right.
He became Chris Collinsworth tonight.
Yeah, he really did. And that's not, yeah, it was just, it's bizarre. I don't have any explanation for it other, no explanation. Anything
None.
That would be a guess.
And I don't think we'll get one, but I just have never seen.
I'm curious.
I don't usually get worked up about this stuff, but the fact that everyone else is worked up about it tells me I'm not crazy.
I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen this with Cutler, where everyone went in with an
okay,
agenda.
But Jay Cutler was an asshole.
You're right.
And deserved it.
At least we knew what it was because he was outwardly an asshole.
Yes.
Even though he was talented and
oh, whatever. I love Jay Cutler. Like, I don't care. But still.
I don't. I mean, I certainly haven't heard any stories about Caleb blowing off interviews or.
Because he hasn't.
Being curt with the media. Everyone's just pretty accommodating.
If Caleb Williams was going to do one thing that was unbecoming of a professional athlete, he would have said, Matt Eberflus can suck my dick. He's the worst coach of all time. But he didn't do that. And that would have been true and fair. But he didn't
and
do
then
that.
Then he did
either.
It in the sidelines and got crucified for it anyway.
All right. He's, yeah. Stupid.
So, anyway, I mean. It's stupid to focus on the broadcasters after the Bears win.
I'm wondering. Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm wondering the noise, like Andrew said, is so loud that I wonder if Aikman will address it in some way, or if he's just going to slough it off.
On a guest appearance somewhere this week.
Yeah, or he's just going to slough it off as well. That's just fans. They always say that after every
right.
game.
Right. Well, even when
this
Ben
does
Johnson
feel different.
When Ben Johnson is like, "Hey, I saw the replay." Of the second half when I was home this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And even he's like, come on, man. You know? Like, what are you getting at? I didn't feed you any of that. You know, like... like even that throw that Slack was, too messing about on Blue Sky today to Luther Burton. You know, it's a 35-yard strike in the air for... 40, he's like, wow, he threw it off his back foot. That's so much... It's like, buddy...
I don't
it
know.
Got there. I don't know what you want.
He hit him in stride, and he let
him in stride.
And he had plenty of yak after it.
He had plenty of yak. No one's around him. What else is there? What is left?
Which is funny to say because Jaden Dan. I mean, if you're not going to criticize the other quarterback on the other side, who was anytime there was pressure coming right up the middle, he was immediately off his back foot and completely inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
That was when the Bears defense was playing their best, was when they were getting pressure right up the middle and the edges contained and he had nowhere to run. So then he just threw it off of his back foot. And that was when he was throwing the worm burners and he got bailed out, I think twice on third down when he had just shitty throws because of those phantom penalties. It was the face mask on the one. And then the other one was the
Jaquan Ruff.
The Montez roughing the passer, yeah.
And it was a Montez Ruff, it was a Jaquan Ruff, which...
That was on the last
The Tom Brady rule, which is bullshit.
Right.
And
I will say that Jaden probably bailed out Dennis more than anybody. Dennis, I thought, called a great game up until that 3rd and 13
right.
that they had.
The
where you could get
Dennis Eberflus.
Right, you saw what was working with Jaden. I mean, just keep coming after him. Even if he breaks containment, he's not going to run for 13 yards. Or you could take your chance that somebody will catch him with a bum knee. And the fact that then they on 3rd and 1 they turned around and he fumbled it. That I thought was that was the one play that I thought the difference between winning and losing is that nobody's talked about that. Nobody.
I'll tell you what no one's talking about.
No, but I'm saying the difference is that if they had lost that game, everybody would be. Focused on that 3rd and 13 play and how they let them convert. And the other one that sequence that they would have all been focused on was the 3rd and 1 at the end of the third quarter. We're on offense when it was 17-16 driving and they rushed to call a play at the end of the quarter for reasons.
Right.
I
looked awkward from the moment they tried to break that huddle and it should have been just like, nope, forget
it's not
get
it.
Up and walk
just,
away.
Yeah, you didn't have to. You didn't have to snap it. You could have just let the clock run out.
Talk
and
about
then
it.
Talk about it.
I was fuming on that one. If third and one, rushing to the line from the shotgun, you've been running the ball all night. It's like, no, this is too cute. Like the fourth and one, okay, I don't like it, but I sort of get it. You know, like I like going for it. That's not my problem. But you know, when you're third and one, you got like 8 seconds until the quarter. It's like, okay, we're not this machine yet. You know, it's not working.
Yeah, and nobody
maybe they
asked
saw
ben
something on
that.
Tape where they thought that they could catch him in that personnel group or whatever. But again, Ben was nasty that so
mm-hmm. right. When they get to, but you can tell, like when they get to the line, they still had no idea what to do.
Yeah,
it's like okay, now.
But that's the difference between winning and losing. He didn't get one question about either of those. And if it was had they lost that game, you know that those would have been the two scenarios that the beat reporters would have just been hyper focused on.
Right, and no one even asked him who he was telling to shut the fuck up on the headphones.
No, not yet.
I want to know.
I'm guessing it was Declan.
Yeah,
better be
definitely. Well, even I think Ben just he. I think he shoots his mouth off constantly when he's not being interviewed. What did he say? His quote about Caleb today was something like, "I don't think he likes everything that comes out of my mouth, but we make it work." So I think he's.
Well, we know he's a red ass
to a lot of people. Yeah, for sure he is.
And that's fine. I don't care as long as you're winning. You can say and do whatever you want.
Yeah,
reason, obviously, but
what I was most excited about, and I don't know how long term it is, but I wrote about it a little today on the site, is that I have watched too many Bears teams when I watch the first four or five games, and it's like, okay, here's what they can't do, and then they proceed to not be able to do it the rest of the season.
Right.
And these four games, we said, okay, the Bears are having trouble running the ball, and they're getting run all over on defense. Well, they did those two things last night, and their coaches came up with solutions. Like, okay, we're going to change the left tackle. We get Darnell Wright back. And by the way, if Darnell Wright plays like that all the time, I ain't got no issues.
The solutions
fine.
Are very good.
And then, you know, on defense, like, all right, we're just going to have these different blitzes. We're going to have different looks. We're going to trick them. We can't get there with four, usually. So we're just going to try this. Now, I don't know how long-term that is, but at least it was different. At least it's like, okay, we got to try something here. We can't just keep doing this. We can't just keep expecting it to change because we want it to.
Yeah, I mean, the linebackers were involved in stopping the run, which they probably haven't been visibly doing that for quite some time.
They were healthier. There are more guys they can play with. I get
TJ is back. Kyler's back. These things help. It was interesting. I think Dennis Allen sort of, you know, bouncing back from that Detroit game says a lot because that could have been a really bad turning point.
that could have been a we're never going to listen to you ever again sort of thing.
That's what I was really worried about after the second game. I was like, they're going to tune these guys out. This is bad. So the fact that they kept them in check and now they're seeing like the fruits of the labor is really, I think that's the most encouraging thing to me, because you weren't going to have a situation where they won four games this year, which I guess is still possible, but I didn't. Going 3-4-5-12, whatever it might be, and then coming back and saying, I promise you it's going to get better. Like, I don't think that was going to be a road this would be.
Well, Andrew, I had a question for the group, and I think you're kind of leading me into it.
All right.
So the Bears are 3-2, the same record they were at this point last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel does it feel different than the 3-2 that they had last year?
Well, I remember being pretty dizzy about them being 4-2, if I recall.
Yes,
going into Washington, that was like the biggest game.
We were very fired up.
Since 2018, yes.
So I would say I probably feel pretty similar, but I have last year's scars informing it.
I think the biggest difference is, because I can't go back and say, well, they beat this team who sucked, Jacksonville sucked, and
we knew Jacksonville sucked at the
and
time.
And Carolina. Well, yeah, you said that was the game that fired Doug Peterson. Eberflus fired Doug Peterson. That's how bad it was.
But, like, yeah, I think we had said it going into the season. Like, Eberflus kind of has to prove he's not a moron, and we're still skeptical. And there was this whole thing of, like, he's still not by any means a guy that we feel comfortable saying is a is a good coach. So they had that record, but we, you know, there was like this fear,
trepidation
for sure. Where with Ben, it's sort of like a, it's a progression in the right direction. It's not linear.
And my trepidation is still there. I still kind of, I can't get rid of it.
Well, I don't think you should. But if we're talking about where we are today, not where we're going to be in you know, a season from now, there's at least hope that, hey, maybe this is something that can continue to improve versus we're just putting this together with, you know, popsicle sticks and gum and hoping it works.
This doesn't feel as fragile as even we sort of knew last year's record was. Because, okay, I looked at it. They were 3-2 after beating Carolina, who we knew were awful. And they'd beaten the Rams, but the Rams, like, had, like, 12 guys.
Yeah, the Rams were very injured that game.
So we were like, okay, it's good that they beat these teams. We're like, You know, then they went over to London. They kicked the shit out of Jacksonville, who people were still kind of excited about at the point, because everyone's always excited about Jacksonville in October. This still feels fragile to me a little bit, but in a different way. Is the only way I can describe it? I don't know, John. Yeah. What do you feel?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you all.
well, I can't tell you what to feel.
I was thinking about it today, and I just don't know. I feel more confident with this group than I did last group. I think the big difference for me is these two wins that they had these past, not 2 weeks, but last 3 weeks, beating the Raiders on the road, beating Washington on the road, both coming down to the final play of the game, which they had never really since that divisional, that Philadelphia game in 2018, the Cody Parkey game. Ugh. They haven't really excelled at those final plays at the gun.
They did last year when it didn't count, but it beat Green Bay, so they did that.
Right, that was the one out of the six or seven that they had the opportunity to. The year before that, the only one, that Green Bay game and then the Denver game, Sam, that you and I were both in the city for, those are the only two that I can recall that came down to the final play that they won over the course of 7 years. And so the fact that they did it twice in 3 weeks makes me feel a little bit more comfortable that this is trending in the positive way. You know, that 2019, obviously they won that Denver one at the gun, and you thought, okay, well, this is them getting back on the track, and then it completely fell off the tracks. They lost against San Diego or the Chargers. I think they were in LA at that point at the gun. They lost to, can't remember who else, if they lost to Minnesota that year also at the end of the game. But it just felt like a never-ending, just a never-ending story of them losing constantly and finding and inventing new ways to lose. So that's why this has felt so refreshing and so good the past 3 weeks, is because they're winning these games that for the last 7 years we saw them come up with new ways to lose.
Which was the whole thing. Non-moron coach is worth wins in these situations.
Yes, and speaking of non-moron coaches, this is that game last night was a perfect example of having a coach that's not a moron and the difference it makes when the other coach on the sideline is a slightly bigger moron. Because Dan Quinn fucked up plenty of chances in that game for his team to score more points. I don't know what the hell he was thinking at the end of the first half. That was some real conservative play calling. First of all, he let the Bears run out the clock in that first half when they had a minute left, and I think it was second and long, and they were clearly not rushing to the line of scrimmage. They were taking their time because they were just going to run out the clock. Washington gets the ball back with 25 seconds, and I think they had either one timeout or two timeouts. And I don't know if he watched any of the Bears film this year, but it has been no issue to march down the field at the end of a half to score points, or to at least get yourself in position to score points. So why he took the knee there, I have no idea. That would, if I was a Washington fan, I would be baffled. That would be the one situation, especially where as your offense just kicked a field goal and they missed it. So you already have the defense on the ropes. They're tired. They want to go into the locker room. And you have another opportunity to put points on the board again. And you don't even try. That was like 2005-esque play calling, the way he handled that end of the first half. And if you recall, we were talking about it again on the real show yesterday, he was doing questionable things last year in that game that got completely overshadowed by Eberflus's final 30 seconds of that game.
Generational dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
Showing it again in Dallas, by the way.
And kudos
giving up the booty
to
Horny Dave.
Uh-huh. And it doesn't feel like a coincidence that we're getting Dallas games in this market every week.
No, I suppose it doesn't.
Some program director's having a good chuckle about it.
Some, and everyone in Dallas is sitting there going, this guy coached a whole team?
The best part about watching Dallas games every week is pondering whether Jerry is going to let Eberflus on the plane home.
Even when they're playing in Dallas.
Even when they're playing in Dallas.
No, they're going to put him on a plane, and he's going to go.
If they're in Dallas, you get on the plane. If they're
he's
not
gonna
Dallas,
go home to his beehive and have sex with it.
Hey, no king shaming. Or
no,
wait,
no, he is.
He is
the only king. He's only a king shamer.
That's right. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. There was another sequence. I feel like that. Well, Quinn also called that challenge on
the
1 yard completion,
crazy,
which was just completely bananas. I'm trying to remember where else he had another fuck up, but I didn't put that one in the yellow pad.
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, someone will.
Someone will save you. Well, is that all? Those are Bears thoughts for the day.
It felt as good as I imagined it would, Sam. And also, by the way, we are exactly where we said they would be. After five games, I believe we were
two and three.
Where did you both have them finishing again?
I had nine wins. John had 10.
Okay. No, I think I had 8 wins.
Matt has the official record.
Yeah. Well, I know what I did at one point. All I remember is I know how many wins Slack had.
I'm pretty sure I had them losing. I think I had them losing this game. I think I was a 2-3.
Okay. Well, I'm almost positive I had them winning this one. 3-2 because I know I had them at 4-2, and then they were going to go 4-4, and everybody was going to lose their shit because it's the same thing that happened last year.
You don't think they're going to go 4-4 now, though?
Well, it's still possible. Well, the Saints game is making me a little itchy.
Yeah, I was going to say
the proverbial letdown.
As we wrap up the Bears half of the podcast. This Saints game, now I will develop shpilkis about it beforehand because that's what you do about NFL football. I had better sit down and watch that Saints game. The Bears take a 10-0 lead and I never sweat again. It's just like they're up 2-3 scores the entire game.
Sam, that's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this is going to be one of those home games where you're just like, why is this so
difficult,
bad and close? Yeah. The whole time. Like, you can smell it, you know?
Well, here's the other thing.
Is the weather
going to
be dog shit on Sunday?
I don't believe so.
They haven't said yet. Well, it's too far out to.
They haven't announced the weather.
They haven't said.
Mm-mm.
You can't find it.
Nope, they can't find it. That's too far out.
Don't bother looking.
Yep,
don't bother looking.
there's no information on that.
There's no apartments in Tuscany.
See.
showers in the morning.
I'm curious, the defense, will they play hard for Coach Dennis in his revenge game? See, we got another revenge game here.
Too many narratives.
Everything is a narrative. It's the narrative football league.
I mean, it kind of is.
It is. That's why it's good. That's why people care about it. Because there's stories galore. There's always something.
It feels like it's going to be a taffy pull, but I think that the Bears are probably just better than New Orleans. So
it's also Spencer Ratliff's revenge game.
Because there's the Caleb and Spencer Rattler narrative too.
What is that?
Spencer Rattler and the Night Sweats.
Well, that wasn't Rattler the guy in Oklahoma, and then he became the starter because Caleb left.
Yep.
Or he was somewhere and left because Caleb was there.
I think there's,
I don't
something, to
care.
There's something to that.
Put this team on their ass in the first quarter, and that's where they stay.
And we get the most mouth-breathing coach on earth in Kellen Moore's slack jaw, too.
Moonface mouth-breathing bitch.
Well, Spencer, I mean, it's a test of Ben, right? Because now you've had a really big win, a cathartic win. This win means more to the players. They can say it doesn't. It obviously does. To win there in those circumstances, it means more. Can you, on a short week, get everyone's head back on straight, show up, and beat a team you really shouldn't work all that hard to beat? This is what Ben is. Ben is,
what's their deal? Their defense is really bad, right? What's their?
Everything's bad. They stink.
Rattler's numbers are not bad.
Most of it's from behind, if you'll excuse the expression.
Some people are into that, but we can't shame
padding,
him. Here.
Yeah, he's been padding a lot of his stats, from what I understand.
As my brother would term it, a lot of it is fuck off catch up yards.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But there's the Spilkas.
I don't want to hear it.
There's the Spilkas just because it is for all the reasons.
Such
as
our lot.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you had that big win, and I think that the big difference being is that they're heading home. The crowd should be really juiced up.
Vibes and juice.
Taysom Hill is back.
Vibes and juice.
The Saints have played two road games and have given up 44 and 31 points. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, you're right.
I know that weird things happen in that dome. I've been in there. Weird things happen to me.
We tried to get there as a group. It didn't happen.
I get they have some sort of built-in advantage there. This ain't there. I'm not here for any night sweats. I'm not here for any of that shit. Put this team down and keep them there.
And I will be juiced for an absolute mauling.
I demand Tyson Bagent time the hot way, not the scary way.
Right, correct. The hot way.
Hot way. Because I am so sick of the Saints, as everybody who on this show knows, and our four listeners. I've banned them. They were the initial team that I banned.
They started this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And they ass wax them on Sunday. Because I'm trying to recall the last time they beat them. And I believe it was 2006 NFC Championship.
It certainly wasn't in Slack's Javon's breadbasket.
They lost that one. No. They lost the one in when Fox took them there. It was Mitch's rookie season. That was a competitive loss.
2008, they beat the Saints.
Respectable mooning.
No, a 3-point win. That's it.
Okay. Was that Ortman?
So they've lost, quick math, 8 straight to New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
They owe them. They
Holy
owe them.
Holy shit, that's bad. But to be fair, until very recently, and they haven't played them since 2023, the Saints were pretty good every year.
The Bears were pretty awful every year.
Pretty bad.
So...
any of these games doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I'm excited for an ass waxing on Sunday.
Rub their ass in the moonshine.
Mm-hmm. And I was the only one, by the way. Let me tell you, I was the only one that was down there in New Orleans, and I had enough of Saints fans for the 15 minutes that we were in New Orleans when the Bears were playing them. So.
They that was Tyson Bagent to start, was it not?
Sure was.
Ugh.
I believe his first start, or second, maybe.
Yeah, well, we gotta wash that taste out of our mouths.
Another narrative, revenge.
It's this podcast's revenge.
But yeah, Sam, that's my yellow pad for the Bears.
It's a good yellow pad. I'm satisfied, I'm juiced, my pants are still off.
As they should be.
So that is good. All right, shifting down gears.
shifting.
Let in our four listeners behind the curtain a little bit. It only took, on the real show, it only took two games for Fifth Feather John to declare that Connor Bedard is just a very good player.
I declare.
Mr. Beauregard.
Now, this has, my thing all of last year was deciphering and judging him on things I would want to see that would decide where on the spectrum between generational superstar and just consistent all-star. I had made no declaration. John has declared.
I did not declare, Sam. You're putting words in my mouth.
What did you say?
I said the difference between Connor Bedard and Caleb at this point, just to compare the two teams that we're discussing, and I did it on the real show.
And you did it your way.
Mm-hmm, was that when Caleb got the ball against the Raiders with no time left on the clock, or whatever, when it was 4 minutes, I had zero doubt in my head that he was going to lead a scoring drive or put the Bears in position to score. There was just no doubt about it. I was 100% confident. When Connor Bedard had the breakaway against the Bruins in game two, it was a 2-on-0 with Frank Nazar, technically. I did not have that same confidence. I said, And sure enough, what did he do?
He didn't score.
No, he didn't score. And that's, you know, I don't want to make too big of a deal of overtime, but when you're the guy, or supposedly the guy, you get an opportunity like that, you don't miss. You just don't. Like, if you go back to all the years of Taves and Kane, when they had a breakaway, it was no doubt, and the game on the line, that was in.
I guess it's going back to the thing that we saw in the first season, like, you know, his first month or two before he got hurt, is that every save was tough. And we were, you know, slobbering all over ourselves saying, oh, once he sees the Matrix, you know, he's going to know the, and like,
right.
It's a year and a half later, and it's still all just a lot of toughly fought off shots and not enough of them.
And not enough of them. I was just about to say 5 shots through 4 games.
Not enough.
That's not going to get it done. No, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah. Out of how many attempts?
I haven't got that at my fingers right now, but
I'm the producer. I'll look that
but
up.
You
make with the talkie.
Like Matt said, we're in year 3 of Connor Bedard's career here. You get a breakaway in overtime in a 3-on-3 scenario, potentially a 2-on-0. That's game over. You don't miss chances like that. If you miss chances like that, you're Radim Verbata.
Slack's guy.
It's Slack's guy.
Ugh.
I it was the end of a shift. I see what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm curious why it's twice now. He's been out there for the last minute of a game that's either tied.
Because he's their best player, whether it's defensive
but
or not.
He's not. Frank Nazar is their best forward. And even if he is their best player, he's not defensively responsible. He's not going to win a draw. He's not going to win a puck battle. He's not going to be in the right spot. He's never going to be that guy. No matter how hard
Connor
he
Bedard
works,
has 18 attempts through 4 games, by the way. That's all strengths. At evens, that goes down.
4.5 attempts per game doesn't sound like enough to me.
That goes down to 11 at even strength over 4 games.
He, no matter how hard he works, he's always going to be 5'9".
That did not seem to matter for Martin St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely different era. He was also a winger.
And I just want to get back to this declaration that occurred that did not occur. That's how I feel about him at the moment, right?
Like,
that
could
change. But it was not encouraging to see it in game 2 of a season where all I heard about was how hard he worked all off season with Macklin Celebrini and all these other guys. Why aren't we seeing the fruits of that labor? Yeah, you look faster, but okay, big fucking deal. You should look faster. You're still
you can't
only
look
20
any slower.
Years old. Yeah, you're still only 20 years old. You should look faster as you get older. And
for
stronger.
The record, Connor Murphy has more even strength shot attempts than Connor Bedard.
Oh Okay. Well, there's my point. John, your real not declaration, your whether it was real or not, or I made it up. It did get me interesting thinking about something, an interesting possibility, and this is something we can watch throughout the end of the season. Now, this certainly wouldn't be the best outcome, but it's the one I would find most intriguing. And that would be if we convene here in April for our Hawks denouement, Hawks Corner in April.
Hawks Corner.
Hawks Corner. And we say that all of Frank Nazar, Sam Renzel, Lev Shinoff, even Korchinski comes up and looks good. Kaiser, who I think has looked great. And, you know, throw one more player. Someone surprises you. You know, Ryan Green, Oliver Moore, whatever. And we say, hey, all of these guys took a step forward this season. They've all made progress. And Bedard is the one who didn't. That would be the most interesting outcome for me. Not the best. It's not what you want as a Hawks fan. But I would
they'll
be really
still,
curious.
They'll still kick the can because then they'll say what Frondell is coming. And they'll
probably... He's going to solve it.
Yeah, he's going to solve it because they can move him to wing and see if that...
But it makes his contract negotiation a little more interesting, doesn't it?
Certainly. I mean, the salary cap's too high. So they're going to pay him his 10 mil dough, and that'll be that.
I have no doubt what the number will be, the AAV, but I sort of wonder if he still looks like this and looks like he did last year, if that's not a 12 million or 11 million for 3 years instead of 7 or 6. If they say, look, we're going to take you right up to, you know, free agency, or we're going to take you a couple years before it. If he doesn't, it's not like he has any leverage. And I don't know why he would hold out for just more years. Players often don't want the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to say at this point. And again, surely people were saying this about, you know, about McKinnon, or they have about Hughes, that like, there's nothing generational about this. Cause we keep pointing to those two because he's got McKinnon's shot in Hughes's body. And that's the problem.
He doesn't have their feet. He doesn't have their hands.
Doesn't have their stride either.
Yeah. But I mean, Slack was right. In the real show, he was bringing up McKinnon's numbers. We've looked at Hughes' numbers. McKinnon's numbers are in a different NHL, to be fair. I didn't watch the ads close enough tell you.
Yep. If Nate McKinnon has a breakaway in overtime, is he scoring a goal?
He is scoring.
Thank you.
If it was in his first three seasons, probably not, because he didn't score any many fucking goals. Go look at it. He didn't score. His number.
I mean, Slack now stunk
Dick.
Stunk Dick. So, Slack's on the opposite side, clearly.
Well, I think we're all in agreement that like this is not McDavid or Crosby here. This is not like a defining player of his entire.
No, we
got to
recalibrate
era.
Our expectations on him. Yes, we're recalibrating in real time.
And is he supposed to be?
He was. He's not anymore.
That's not it. Yeah.
I mean,
we can sit and kick our feet and bemoan the fact that he's not, or you can just
adjust,
recalibrate.
It was the right pick for sure. 100%.
There was no other pick.
I
don't know. I think Sam is more looking at it from the lens of what do you do with his kind of place in this roster if the team.
All I know is I don't want Kyle making that fucking call.
Well. Sorry, he's gonna.
Yes, yeah. I mean,
Slack's right. McKinnon's first 4 years don't even look as good as Bedard's first.
They don't. They're not even good. They're not even like good. Okay. My question in this is to you guys because I don't feel like I can climb into the weeds with all that stuff. But if he ends up this season finishing with 80 points, is it point-based as far as how you feel about him going forward, or is it just like what
little,
you're seeing?
That's only one factor.
I've been consistent on this since the moment he got here, and we started seeing what the weapon of a shot is. I want 5 on net a night. I don't care from where or from how. I like it's got he's got to be a volume guy. That's clear.
I mean, I think it's,
and he's
it's
not that, at this point.
It's what his point total ends up being. I mean, his point total is always limited because he's playing with dopes. And even if Burakovsky continues to play well, then Burakovsky won't be here for the whole season. So you know, it's limited. But I, you know, I just, to me, it's how many shifts per game or through the season do you see where it's like, wow, they can't live with this guy. You know,
without
he's creating,
him.
he's getting chances. He's you know, he looks.
He's making himself dangerous out there, Carlos Delgado.
He's making himself dangerous because last season and, you know, so far this season. And I feel like this rookie year, there were a lot of those. But last season, it was just like.
There were a ton up until the facial injury. Like, it was
right.
Through Christmas.
Well,
like, it was like right around Christmas where we got the lacrosse goal.
Right. Well, that's, you know, but hey, you're going to get hit, son. It's too bad, you know?
I'm like, I'm not saying that like he's shying away from stuff now, like, but that's like,
well,
that's...
I am. But you know, there's just, you know, last year there'd be so many games where you'd see him for one shift and then just nothing. And I would wager that even when McKinnon wasn't putting up great numbers in his first 4 years, you still knew he was on the ice. He was still making things happen. You know, he was also coached by a moron. But yeah, Connor Bedard might not be free of that either. You know, we keep doing this show. I don't mean to repeat for our listeners, but, you know, I thought the first two games I was actually encouraged. And then the two games at home, even though he scored in the against the Canadiens, I was like, kind of back to this. And this is where you should be getting the matchups you want and you should feel more comfortable. And you
well,
know,
Blaisdell seems content. Like, he seems intent to turn it into low event, even a little bit different style. Like, and as you pointed out, like in your write up, which everyone should subscribe to, that at least Kaiser is trying to like pressure things at the lines, but like the running around man, like you can't be doing that. With old, slow, established veterans, you have to instill. Like, why? I don't under fucking stand this. Why they're trying to like get blood from the aged turnips here? Where
I don't know that I don't think I agree with you about Blashfield so far. I mean, I think his defense was good. I just think against a team like Utah, they just don't have enough. Against a team like Utah to create that much. I mean, I have no problem with them holding a team.
But aren't you the guy though that says play the style of hockey you want to play for when you're good?
I think they were. They're just not good enough to pull it off. But they're going to keep trying. Like they how many guys on this team can carry the puck in against actual defensemen? Like, it's not a clear lane. They've got to make a move and get in there. There's like two. You know, they don't have it on all four lines. And then when they do have to chip the puck in deep, who's going to get it back? Bertoilet?
No, he's going to fall down and then yap
right.
at the rep and then do his stupid little kick move
yeah.
on the base.
Oh, for those who don't know, John's tired of the going down to one knee at the side of the net thing. He doesn't need that
have
anymore.
Been for a while.
Oh,
and
everyone
also
is.
And the pool cue move that he does where he shortens up his grip on his stick. Like an idiot.
He's eight years old. It's all eyewash. Every single fucking thing he does is eyewash. With his with his look, with the turtleneck, with the number, everything. I fucking hate him so goddamn much.
Just be strong on your stick in the crease. You don't have to go down to a knee.
From the Jake McCabe school of falling down all over, we bring you Tyler Bertoilets. No, that's the other thing, going back to Bedard, and we brought up Bertoilet, too much deferring still, too, within the first four games. When there's opportunities to get the puck to the net, he's still looking for a pass, like he's Patrick Kane, like looking to dish it to somebody. You got to just fire the puck.
Right. Yeah, I'm tired of watching him pass to idiots.
I think it was in the Boston game or Montreal, but it was one of the ones where they had like a – they had him teed up on the left hash for a bullet one-timer, and he tried to do a slap pass to somebody off the side of the net, and of course they completely fumbled it. And it wasn't anybody that would that was worth making that pass to.
There's no one on this team worth making that pass to.
Maybe Tavo. That would be the only guy that could probably handle it if he was doing it. But there's just shoot the puck.
Son.
Just shoot the puck as any chance you get. There's no reason for him to only have, was it 18 attempts through four games? Five games?
Four games. Yeah.
I mean,
that's not enough.
It's like a little less than six. And only how many shots on goal?
Five.
That's five. That is bad.
That's not good enough.
No, that's horrible. That's like, I'm trying to think.
And only three of them, and only three of them have been blocked. His Fenwick is his individual Corsi for his 18. His Fenwick is 15. So only three of them have been blocked. They're getting through. They're just majority off target, and there's not enough of them.
I don't worry about the off target. You know, they're not all going to land. Just fire away.
Right.
Why is no coach making this a focal point of his game?
No idea.
Because that's just not how they think. Every shot is sacred. Everything has to be perfect before you do it.
Well, that must be their philosophy because they only get about 15 a game.
Right.
We're not shooting that much, but man, they are good.
Right.
Which obviously is not true. They're not good.
Well, that was the philosophy that Nathan MacKinnon played under with Wah. So where they were getting just absolutely snowed in that one year in possession, but they PDO'd their way to a playoff spot.
No, this is rookie year.
The Craig Anderson year, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Or
just for comparison's sake, even in the bad years that MacKinnon was having, he was averaging almost four shots on goal a game. Over three.
Yeah, so it's got to be more. Yeah. But again, he's not getting. There's no one on that line that's earning any space.
I think Colton Dock might end up rivaling Mason Marchment as the dumbest player in the league.
Oof.
I don't know. Matt Rempe's still fucking drawn breath.
I mean, non-goon division.
Well, he's the only one. He's the only one left. Even fucking Ryan Reeves is.
he's an Indian San Jose.
I believe he's like with the Barracuda.
The Barracuda.
Ann and Nancy.
Yeah. Slack. What was the point when they had the article? Could Colton Dock be gone? And you were like, this posits that any headline that asks the question can be answered with no.
Yeah, Betteridge's law of headlines.
Yeah, that's not a thing we need to try anymore.
Once Colton Dock cements himself as a first NHL, a first liner in the NHL, and Oliver Miller learns how to shoot, we're going to be in a really good spot.
Yeah,
Oliver Miller is lighting up the AHL now, so that is a harbinger of success at the NHL level because it worked for Lucas Reichel.
The Hawks have a bunch of fucking Brian Lehairs on their roster. 4A guys. Can't. Matt Mervises.
That's all-star Brian Lehair to you, mister.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's get to AFS.
All right, America's favorite segment.
It is loaded up this week. Let me tell you, folks.
All right, hold on. I'm efforting. Hold up. We got. All right. This is from that guy from Chicago.
they've all got to put their credentials in their handles, don't they?
Oh, of course, Matt. Here's the headline of the post. I've seen enough. I want a McKayhav extension ASAP. Now, do you want to hear his reasoning?
Not particularly, but I know you're going to give it to me.
But we got a bit to do, yeah.
Maybe a raise, too, hopefully.
He's been the most notable Blackhawk for me, aside from the young guys. He brings an attitude and intensity I would love to see the young kids learn from, and his PK play is outstanding. Currently on a $4 million deal, I don't think it would take too much more to make him a Blackhawk for the remainder of his career, even if it's just to be a locker room presence later in his career. But with him being only 31, he should have plenty left.
A guy who does not speak English at all.
Does not speak English.
Yeah, listen, John, he's got at least 9 to 12 years left in that career, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody in the NHL plays well into their late 30s.
Yep.
I'll say this much for that guy from Chicago. I would have extended Mikheyev over to Hockey Nato.
It's just like if you're saying that he's the most notable player.
That's bad. It's bad. 31. You've got you again, just going back to the previous conversation.
Well, you said other than the kids. So you
yeah,
know,
but you say other than the young guys, which could refer to anybody.
It's Bedard and Nazar right now.
Okay, say that then. You're not saying anything otherwise. It's like
it might be Louis Crevier. He's pretty young.
I'm sure the subreddit loves Louis Crevier right now.
Darko Crevier.
Here's a comment in
Big
the in
Country
the
Bryant Crevier.
There's a lot of like stupid comments, just like, and also people saying you don't need to extend him. He's old. And there's a lot of guys that you think are going to be good that are better than him. So why would you take up their roster spot? So not completely idiotic.
Oh yeah, he doesn't fit the timeline, John.
Yeah, you're right. No, he doesn't fit the timeline of
the real timeline that exists.
Okay. So somebody responded, in no way can they extend Mikheyev. He's been great, but his age doesn't fit the timeline. There you go, Slack. Take a drink. They've already got Tavo, Burakovsky, Bert. Who's Bert?
Bertoilet.
Bertoilet.
Oh, who's Bert?
Bert. That's how he wrote it, Bert. Well, am I supposed to know his nickname? That's not Bertitties or Bertoilet? And they have Donato signed for years after the season. There's just no
not a compliment. But did he put in parenthetically derogatory?
There's just no room if you envision players like Moore, Frondell, Kantsarov, etc., making the jump to the
Clarasil.
Clarasil.
So that guy from Chicago responds, I get what you're saying, but from a culture fit, he's the type of player who will help establish the culture that Blashill has been talking about in that room. What is their obsession with this culture? What is their obsession with this culture? Just fucking win. That's the culture.
Well, because that's all the fucking mouthy moth captain ever talks about. And their culture sucks where they need to have constant team meetings. And they've been in the toilet for 3 straight years.
Additionally, it's beneficial for guys to see him night in and night out, how he prepares for games, practices, etc. If a player like Ryan Green can become a mini Mikheyev, I'd call that a huge win.
This guy just literally just saw him score 2 goals and is like, I like him. I had a good time watching tonight.
You didn't let me finish the punchline. You didn't let me finish the punchline. So I got to reread this sentence, Matt. If a player like Ryan Green can become a mini Mikheyev, I'd call that a huge win. Similar to Saad being called Mini Hossa early in his time with the Hawks.
Very similar.
Very exactly similar.
Yeah. Exactly the same.
He recognized a number. He recognized a number. That's all it was.
I think. Oh, God damn.
Wait a minute. Ryan Green.
This is like one of those SAT, you know.
Right. Ryan Green is to Ilya Mikheyev as Brandon Saad is to Marian Hossa.
If you go back to Ryan Green's draft comps, most people were saying he's a low rent version of Ilya Mikheyev.
A diet Ilya Mikheyev.
Yeah, they said,
like,
well,
you want to get
an undrafted free agent equivalent.
I do, actually, John. I do
get
want
to yours,
get
and then we'll come back to my second
yes,
one.
Yes, because it piggybanks up. Piggybanks.
That's something else. Yeah, that's something else.
That's beautiful. That's a good flub. John, the thing that's most disturbing about the stuff that you're saying to me about these people and their writing
is that they walk among us and that they have jobs and that they probably have children.
And I guess what they don't have? Access to the locker room to understand what these guys do or say or how they prepare for anything.
Right.
So to sit here and say, like, he's great in the locker, what if everyone hates this guy? You don't fuck
Matt said
English.
He doesn't speak a word of English.
Yeah, you don't know this guy at all. He's in there, you're offering him crab juice. He doesn't know what the fuck's happening.
Okay. Clamato.
Yeah, he's Christ almighty. So this is a thread that the initial post is probably like 750 words, and I'm not fucking reading it.
Is it by Chris Block?
The title is Rethinking the Seth Jones Trade. Did the Blackhawks actually win this one?
Oh my God, who cares?
Exactly. Who fucking cares? So speaking of weird people who think they know things, I'm going to read down this thread really quick. You're forgetting the best. This is 237 upvotes, this comment. You're forgetting the best part of the Jones to Florida trade. We got good vibes. The locker room is so much stronger with him gone. How do you know this? Where are you getting this information?
From Nick Foligno. That's where they got it from.
Are you sitting in there while they're all playing footsie and kumbaya during
sleepovers
pregame? While you,
I don't know, Andrew. I'm just allergic to earnestness.
The reply here is, and Seth got a cup, poor guy. And this guy replies, well, he can be happy as long as it's away from the Hawks, LOL. He isn't our problem anymore.
Yeah, but Florida thinks he's a huge problem.
Exactly. And then the initial poster says, he could finish his career as a Hall of Fame multi-Stanley Cup winner, and I wouldn't miss him. He was just a toxic presence. What the fuck are you talking about?
By the way, I don't think this
reads like a more earnest version of Stav's bit. After every Ravens loss, what they got that certain intangibles? I don't know. Just say so you don't like values, that. He's black.
He values a fan fiction version of a wonderful, happy locker room over a Hall of Fame career with multiple Stanley Cups. I just want to make sure that that's clear. That this guy would rather have a bunch of his hockey players on his favorite team be buddies than win games.
They remember that the 2015 team was ready to murder one another.
I don't think regular people know about that.
Certainly not these people.
These people do not know about that, I guarantee.
No. Yeah. If they do, they've long forgotten it. I want to get back to what Matt said about Foligno and those comments about Seth Jones, and that's where they're getting it from. Did we see, because we haven't talked about it, did we see that they asked Seth Jones about that before the season opener?
I saw it. Yeah.
And then did we see Foligno walk it all back like the little bitch that he is?
I don't think I caught the second part.
I mean, it was basically like, oh, I wasn't directing that at Seth Jones. Like, it was just a comment that I made. And Seth's comments were, well, I don't know what he was talking about. We've talked about it and we're cool, like, type thing. Like, I don't. So, like, that whole thing that Foligno said was all just another performative bit, but these people have taken and run with it, and it's clearly...
But he's
like,
earnest, John.
Yeah, he's earnest.
Earnest fucking scared stupid.
He's got that quality. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
Like Camp Scataboo.
Yeah.
I mean, All I need to say about Foligno is that the opening game, he has the pointless fight with whatever stiff the Panthers have on the fourth line now.
Greer.
Hey, they only lost by one goal, Sam.
Right. And then the second game, Nikita Zadorov is running all over the ice to hit anybody he can find.
He literally elbows Renzel in the back of the skull in the boards.
Right. He's going unchecked. But because he's bigger than Foligno, nowhere to be found.
Even Tamo like
means so much for him to protect his young teammates, and I don't think it does. Like, if you're going to buy into that, you're going to say, this is our captain. Look at him stand up. Where is he when it really counts?
Not to mention putting them on a 5-on-3 and then a delayed call in the third period. He just kind of limp-wristed and waved at while the Bees had an extra attacker out, like thought that like it barely glancing off the heel of his stick was enough for a touch up for the whistle on the delayed call. And it went on for another 15 seconds and he was just like, didn't skate after it, whatever. Just kind of waved it. Like, what the fuck?
Let's not do the Foligno podcast again.
I don't know. Mark Lazarus seems to fucking be trying to bait it out.
He clearly wants to engage a holy war. John, did you have a second?
I had another one.
Okay.
In America's favorite segment. The title of this post: why is Lapshunov not in Rockford? And I don't know what this username is. I can't. It's Biancon Eagles or something, or Biancon Eagles.
I'm sure you're pronouncing it right one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make any statements about what Lapshunov can or cannot be for the Hawks. But one thing I do not understand is why we're keeping around with the first team when he's getting healthy scratched. I understand this season is more about player development than winning games, so they're not super concerned if he looks rough out there, but surely ice time in Rockford is better for him than constantly sitting out. Is there some sort of contract situation with him or another player in Rockford that I'm unaware of? It's the only thing I could think of. Otherwise, yes. I really don't get it.
Yes, he has an NHL contract. That is what that is.
Constantly sitting out.
The one time that I would get, again, wrongly. Yeah, you can make some again. But again, it's the narrative hockey league where Blazil didn't even know what the fuck Ben was talking about when asked. And he had.
You're referencing, by the way, you're referencing his, was it
his boners and boners? Yes,
boners in Boston.
Yes,
when he was looking up at the scoreboard or something while the play was going on.
Because coach, because you know, coach's pet Trevor Van Riemsdyk never did that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, he only had what, like a 65 Corsi share on the road, and. You know, set up the game tying goal, and you know, looked every
set up the winner last night. Or I guess it's technically not the winner. Set up the first goal,
but
he looked at, he looked at a video screen once. So
But yeah, a lot of the comments are, "What are you talking about? Constantly sitting out. It was one game, and also there was." This is Andrew. You'll be relieved to know this is actually has 17 upvotes. This comment, the reply to this one comment. Good Lord, I haven't watched the Hawks yet this year. Has the kid been that abysmal where every comment and post about him is negative? The reply to that, no, this subreddit just has zero idea of how hockey works.
Thank you.
I mean, yes.
I can't believe that he didn't get downvoted to Bolivia, but he. 17 upvotes on that one, so well done, sir, and thank you for listening.
Is it time to get to the Cretans?
I suppose. I don't have a lot, do you?
I got a couple. All right. The first one is from Kylian. Killian, does anyone know this guy?
No.
I sure know, but no one ever heard of him.
I guess it's Killian. Anyway, he asks, why am I such an ugly loser? I don't know, but you are. Let's see.
Oh, tough one for that guy.
Yeah, tough one. Maze and Brew Dave, will the Hawks ever outshoot their opponents in a game this year? Once. just once, and it'll be December 13th.
And we will go on hot mic for the occasion.
Indeed.
the hot mic in your mind palace.
Short Circuit, another long time guy. How excited are we for Matt Mattacola's youth football team?
I got to be honest. maybe one of the worst things in my life that I voluntarily allow is hearing about that.
Really, I won, so I upsetting. One serious, sort of serious one. Alex August, longtime guy. Was this the most satisfying revenge game the Bears have ever played? Or was it the Eberflus one earlier? Or is there a better one you can think of? I mean, there has to be a better one.
Yeah, there's got to be a better one than that.
If I mean, any a Bears revenge game, yeah.
Boy, that's a really good question.
I think the best year, if they put Aaron Rodgers in the fucking dirt, that'll be better than any of these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, putting Favre in the dirt was a good revenge game.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the top for me as well.
They also
put and what? The... No, it was very. That's why it ended because it was very much not fucking dirt.
It was very much not dirt.
It was yeah. It was frozen astroturf,
frozen concrete. Yeah. The season opener. I think it was maybe a year or so removed from the Super Bowl, and they went into Indianapolis and mooned the Colts on opening night. That was a good revenge game.
Yeah, but like the Colts still won the Super Bowl, you know?
Right. Right,
like,
yeah.
And even if they beat Rodgers, he still beat us, like, 78 times.
But if you put him in the dirt.
Yeah, if you put him in the dirt, that's different. But, like, the Washington thing, it's like, okay, now we're even. I'm sorry. Yes. Like, you know, it's you know.
One pants pissing a piece.
One pants pissing a piece. I mean, the Eberflus one's pretty good rivalry. Sweet.
I hope it turns into a rivalry here. It does feel like it has the makings of one.
Definitely. And it is. I think Caleb's comments were like playing these games is meaningful to both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we both want to win. And I think, you know, they're 1-1. I think obviously who knows if the schedule is going to let them play each other in the regular season going forward. But I mean, if this game, my friend. Yeah. If this game happens in the playoffs, I mean, that is a massive, that's going to get a big audience. That's going to be a big deal. And that's great. That's good.
No, I don't want that. I can't handle that.
I don't want it either. Well, I want them in the that's the thing. I think maybe, yeah. We careful what we wish for, I guess, is the whole thing there.
Trying to effort some more revenge games, but I can't think of any else. Yeah, it's definitely in the team picture. It's in the team picture, I will say that.
I have so many vendettas, it's hard to keep track.
We weren't old enough for it, but I believe the going into Candlestick in 85 and mooning the Niners after
That would have been up there, yeah. But that's not our generation, really.
But it's, no, it only gets to be after the fact because they won.
Correct, and it's not an apple. Again, to the point, it's not an apples to apples comp because that was an NFC Championship game. This was just a regular season game, but going in there and beating them was a huge deal. But with the Washington, these were both regular season games, so the stakes were equal in both. But it's definitely, I feel like, in the team picture for good revenge games and Bears lore.
Andrew, did you get anything?
No.
All right. I've just got a couple quick ones here then. Whitey 83. Have we seen enough yet to at least know Ben Johnson is a trademark, not a moron?
Correct.
I think I feel that way.
Trending. Well,
trending for sure.
Trending
heavily trending.
I think he's also one of these a coach that is self-aware enough that he learns and adapts and is
like
man and mature enough to change if he realizes that he made a mistake or he needs to do something different to help his team win.
I'm sure they were all saying the same thing about John's guy McDaniel down in Miami, though.
No, they weren't. Damn it, he was going to win his way. And that was the only way that he knew. And his way was Kyle Shanahan's way.
Also, McDaniel, was working under an offensive coach, whereas Ben comes in and, he was running the offense.
Yeah.
He's not trying to do some version
and
of
McDaniel
something.
And McDaniel was it would have been like if Ben Johnson got a job after he was tight end coach at the Dolphins. Because he was young and hip and did mm-hmm. FaceTimes with the quarterback.
You know who does FaceTimes? Elderly people. They're the only people that do FaceTimes. Yeah. Just saying.
FaceTimes. I like to say that in the Danny McBride way, too. Pluralize it.
FaceTimes.
Goof 'em ups.
Yeah.
And then last one. Kanzi. What's more dead, Illini corner or Cubs corner?
Cubs corner is legitimately dead because the season is over.
Right.
Illini corner is dead, but the season must go on.
it's weird because it's like if you told me, what are they, 5-2?
Yeah.
Evan Altmaier was going to earn himself some money, right, John?
Luke.
That's Evan Eschmeyer. I was way
off. Yeah, Evan Eschmeyer. Luke Altmaier could have made himself some money.
Well, I just think
if he was any damn good.
There's a real possibility that they win the majority of the rest of their regular season games.
To what end?
I think it'll be hard to motivate that team at this point, Andrew.
I don't know if it will. I guess I didn't think the Ohio State game was anything to be embarrassed about, unlike the Indiana game.
Yeah.
But
they just got, they're not playing for anything at this point now.
They needed to win the Indiana game. This game they could have always lost.
Right.
But they're still they're Illinois football, and for us to sit here and say 5-2 is somehow unacceptable and unwatchable is hilarious.
No, I agree with you.
Vibe is not great, even though the team is better than it historically has any right to be and has ever been.
Right. They can
handful yourself in the
season.
Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Yeah. They can
I would love
back-to-back.
A Pop-Tarts Bowl game. You know what? That's what we're hoping for again is give us another mid-tier SEC team and let's beat them, and then that's good enough.
And hopefully there's the bowl that they're in is doing some kind of bit.
Yes.
Yes. Well, they all do bits now because I feel like they have to. Otherwise,
the Bahamas, just Popeye's Chicken thing,
this just
which feels
Carolina again.
Cancelable.
Let's do another Shane Beamer. I think that would be fun for everybody. And by the way, Illini Hoops is starting up, and they have an entire YMCA Euro hairy old man team. So
yeah,
the all stinky team from
it's
George
going
Fells.
To be fantastic. Yeah,
yeah, the George Fells all stinky team.
We'll have to figure out how to say corner in Slovak.
Yeah, they've got Paige's kid. They've got the Visic twins who
Paige's kid on his third college.
Yes.
The Avicii, the Swedish DJ children, some guy who sucks.
It doesn't matter anymore, Sam. Get with
the
times.
No, I know. I'm still getting used to it, but you're right. It does not matter.
No.
And this is when we want him anyways, as he's growing into... We're growing the man. We're growing the man.
We're growing the man in a lab like the Venture Brothers.
I'm tired of them getting a freshman who's highly thought of and is gone after a year.
Yeah, Will Riley, fuck off.
Right, right.
You pimple-faced bitch.
Yeah. Did he try to go to the draft and then didn't get drafted?
I think he got drafted. Oh, he definitely got drafted.
Okay, he's like a second-round pick or something.
Yeah, by like Toronto or something. I don't know. Who knows?
That sounds right.
The Illini Hoops were rated like sixth in the KenPom rankings that just came out. I saw that and I was like, oh, I did not realize that Illinois was going to be good again. So that's fine.
We're slob squatting our way to a Big Ten title.
Just get into the dance and let them go. Let's see what happens.
Till they run into the buzzsaw that is the ghost of Sister Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Brad Underwood completely befuddled by a zone defense.
Yeah, I get sort of tired of the Brad Underwood arguments because, Jesus Christ, we have not been this good in such a long time consistently.
Yeah,
and it's just because obviously they haven't won a championship or gotten to a Final Four. But
he's a hell of a recruiter. Clearly.
Oh, I mean,
year in and year out, he's got a team that can go.
Take apart the team and he puts it back together just with.
I think he just needs a better assistant coaches to help him with the tactical side, and he clearly does not have that.
Well, maybe he got something and we didn't pay attention to it.
He could be. So maybe he found somebody while he was strolling the streets of Split, Croatia.
Hey, could be. Our college rules.
Your college rules. All right. That is it for us for this week. For Slack, for Matt, for John, I'm Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. Until next week, Top Guys out.